Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we're going to talk about prayer for a little bit. When Jesus talks about prayer, he talks about it in such a way that it's just assumed that the life of a follower of his is going to be a life of prayer. And so when he talks about it and he teaches his disciples to pray, he says, when you pray, do this. Now, I want to get, prayer is a broad topic, and I want to narrow it down a little bit for us. When it comes to prayer, prayer consists of two parts, and one of them is a part that we sometimes overlook for a variety of reasons. The first part in prayer is probably the part that we most often associate with prayer. It's what we do when we go to God, whether it's in the privacy of our homes or here in church. We get down on our knees, or however we do it, we talk to God. We pour out our hearts. We have this promise that God hears us, hears our prayers. We can pour out our joys and successes as well as our fears and failures and know that He's listening. There's a second vitally important part to prayer. And this is the one that we sometimes overlook. And this is listening to God speak back His words to us. There's this old adage, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. We should listen twice as much as we speak. It's good advice in relationships. It's great advice in marriages. And it's vitally important in our walk with Christ that we listen twice as much as we speak. It was a reminder that the disciples needed this day when they were up on the mountain and Jesus was transfigured before them. And it's a reminder, honestly, that you and I need to hear again and again. So, for example, Jesus, right before he went up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and right after he came down, he repeated himself. He said to them that he was going to suffer and die, and 3 days later he would rise again to life. Were they listening? We know that Peter at least heard what Jesus said, because the first time Jesus said that before they went up on the mountain, his reaction was one of shock and horror. He said, no, Lord, this will never happen to you. And Jesus rebuked him. He said, get behind me, Satan. The disciples heard Jesus, but were they listening? You follow through the rest of the account, and we know how everything played out. If they'd really listened, if they'd really believed what Jesus had said, you'd expect to find them Easter morning, 3 days after his crucifixion, at the tomb, ready to throw a party. But none of them were there. The only people that appeared were the women who'd been following Jesus, and they didn't go to throw a celebration either. They went expecting to find Jesus' body to finish preparing it for burial. They heard, but they weren't listening. And then we've got this moment where Peter, James, and John are on the mountain, and Jesus is transfigured before them. The gospel writers tell us that Jesus began to shine, that his clothing was bleached whiter. It was whiter than any bleach in the world could make it. He was transfigured before them. And then, even more amazing, Moses and Elijah, these two great men of faith from the history of Israel, appeared there. And the three of them, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, are talking. They're carrying on this conversation, and what I wouldn't give to be there in Peter, James, and John's place to listen to what they were talking about. Were they listening? I love how Mark puts this as he's relating what had happened. Peter, he's so flustered, that he begins to babble about building shelters, one for Jesus and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And I love the editorial comment that he said this because he was terrified and he didn't know what else to say. He just started talking. And in the midst of this noise, the voice of God the Father broke in. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. The emphasis on that last word is there for a reason. There are so many voices that compete for our attention in our lives. There are voices from without, and there are voices from within. The voices from without, the familiar ones on our screens, whether they're our TVs or our smartphones. It's ironic how similar the message of these voices is, whether it's a politician, or a news reporter, or a meteorologist. The message is often one of doom and gloom. The sky is falling. It'll be a miracle if any of us live to see tomorrow. And what I find even more ironic than the fact that all of these messages are somewhat similar is that we pay them so much attention when day after day, month after month, year after year goes by, and their predictions of doom and gloom in many ways don't pan out. The world is still spinning. It hasn't ended the way that they have warned us it would. So we have these voices from without that clamor for our attention. We also have voices from within that shout at us. Voices of self-doubt and self-criticism. Voices that echo all of these would-haves and should-haves and could-haves. Now, some of these voices, both from within and without, some we can recognize and identify very clearly as either good, bad, or neutral. But the problem is we can't always identify whether these voices, which category they easily fall into. Many times, these voices that we hear, from both from without and from within, they sound sweet. They sound good. But they lead only to trouble and destruction. This is what Paul warned Timothy about. That the days were coming, he said, when people would give up listening to sound teaching, and having itching ears, they would follow those who would say the things that they wanted to hear, and that would lead them away from the truth. Because the other thing all of these voices have in common, whether they're from within or from without, they all scream, "I'm telling the truth." And in the midst of this noise, God the Father still speaks to you and to me. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Jesus speaks a word that's louder and longer than any of the other voices that you could hear if we would simply pause long enough to listen. He speaks a word of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness, of courage, and life. We hear this command from God, "Listen to him. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And sometimes in our heads, we echo that statement, "Listen to him," back as a question. Listen to him? We hear? Well, how exactly do we do that? How does Jesus speak to us still today? I mean, it's one thing if we rewind time and we go back to that moment on the mountain and we're Peter, James, and John, and we hear the voice of God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." It's one thing to listen to Jesus when he's standing there bodily right beside us. But how do we listen to Christ today? How does Jesus speak to us today when he is ascended and seated at the right hand of the throne of God? Do we wait for an audible voice like Peter, James, and John heard to speak to us from the sky? Do we look to God to speak to us as he spoke to many of the prophets in visions and dreams? Do we turn, like many people, inward and trust that God will speak in our feelings, that we can follow our hearts and God will lead us that way? In the past, God has spoken in many different ways. But there's only one way that God has promised to speak to you and to me today. I saw this cartoon that illustrated this point pretty well. It was in the first frame of this cartoon. There was a guy, he was down on his knees, his hands together, and he was praying, looking to heaven, "God, speak to me." The next frame in this cartoon had the same man down on his knees, but from the clouds there was a hand reaching down, holding a Bible. Jesus speaks to you and to me through his word. He still speaks that way today. This is how the book of Hebrews begins. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." If you're listening for a word from Jesus, if you're wanting Jesus to speak to you, you don't have to look any further than the Bible on your shelf or the app on your smartphone. Jesus speaks to us still today through his word. So when you pray, don't forget there are these two parts. first is us speaking to God. The second, we should pause long enough to read, hear, and listen to what Jesus has to say to us today, to how he speaks. Because these are not mere words on a page. Just a few chapters after the book of Hebrews opens, this is how the Word of God is described. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Jesus still speaks today through his Word. He speaks light into our darkness, hope into our despair, forgiveness into our sin. He speaks this for you and for me. This passage from Hebrews 4 goes on to say that no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So then let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, the first half of those verses, where the author says that nothing is hidden from God's sight, that we are all naked and exposed to the one before whom we must give an account, that would be terrifying if that were all we knew of God. That no thought that we've thought, that no word we've spoken, no action that we thought was hidden is ever hidden. If that were all we knew of God, that would be a terrifying prospect. If all of our secrets were made known, and that was it. But the author doesn't stop there. He goes on to say that in Jesus we have one who's been tempted in every way as we are. He lived as one of us. He knows what it is to be human, and yet he was without sin. And that means that we can draw near to him in prayer, pour out our deepest, darkest secrets, our joys and our failures, knowing not just that he hears us, but that he still speaks words of mercy, grace, and forgiveness to you and to me today. In Jesus' name, amen.